Why, yes, it is indeed time to talk to the voice of the Big 12 champion Kansas Jayhawks, defending national champion Kansas Jayhawks, as Brian Haney joins us, as he always does every week, this week on a Friday. And probably good timing to talk to Brian, because since we last spoke, Brian, and you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, you've presented the scenario where, hey, Kansas could have this thing wrapped up before they play in Austin and not have to win in Austin to even get a share of the title. They could have it outright, and here we are, and Texas loses to TCU, and Kansas takes care of business against Texas Tech, and now KU has it all wrapped up. It's exactly how you predicted, my man.
Well, I think what we can deduce from that is the conference is as good as we thought it was, and so is Kansas and Bill Self. We really felt like once Texas got to those last 2 weeks with road trips to Waco and Fort Worth, the KU was going to get some help. What we didn't see coming was a loss by Texas in Lubbock, and that was what kind of sent the whole final 2 weeks of Kansas zooming to the top in motion, and what allowed KU to clinch a share on Tuesday night before Wednesday even happened. But yeah, thankfully it all came together like that. And so now folks are wondering, well, what do you really have to play for on Saturday? The answer is a lot, because you're still trying to lock up the number one overall national seed. I think winning the Big 12 outright should clinch a one seed for you no matter what happens from here. But to me, if you want to be in the Kansas City region for the NCAA Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, the number one overall national seed gets to pick its region. And if it winds up being Houston, they could pick Vegas, but they might pick Kansas City just to give Kansas a tougher road, looking at Kansas as probably their number one competition. And so you'd like to leapfrog Houston and Alabama and everybody else. And in my mind, Kansas isn't far from doing that. In my mind, based on the strength of the Big 12, we should have that already. But nothing in the next 8 days could do more for KU in solidifying the number one overall national seed than winning on Saturday. A road win against the top five team, resume-wise, would do more for you than any one game or maybe any two games in Kansas City next week. So, to me, Saturday still has a lot hanging in the balance. It's not make or break for the number one overall national seed, but it could be pretty close to making it for you if you get it. So I think there's a lot of motivation, even though the Big 12 race has been decided before we hop on that plane later today.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if Kansas wins this game tomorrow and they avoid being upset in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament, I think they are the number one overall seed, and maybe even they could lose in the quarterfinals Big 12 tournament, be the number one overall seed. And I also agree with you, even if they would lose tomorrow, let's say they make it to the Big 12 championship game in Kansas City or win the Big 12 tournament, I think that would lock them in as number one overall seed. And of course, it depends a lot on what Houston, Alabama, and other teams do in their conference tournaments as well. But I don't know, man, when you got 15 quad one wins, and yeah, we've got a lot of good wins on the road, good wins at home, a lot of close wins, but that's what your great teams win, the close games. And that'd be an extra feather in the cap if you go to Austin, beat Texas, and a year when the Big 12 is so doggone good. I want to go back to the Tech game. It wasn't pretty, but Kansas got it done. Tech had a lot to play for, no doubt. Played hard. It was an ugly first half in particular. Both teams didn't shoot the ball very well. I can't remember if I've talked with you about this or not, but I want to bring it up in case I haven't. To me, what makes Kansas so tough, and when I look at everybody else in America, I think there's probably 10, maybe 12, maybe if you stretch it, 15 teams that could maybe make it all the way to the national championship game. I think that's stretching a little bit. I think there's maybe 15 or 20 that can make the Final Four. I think there's maybe 10 or 11 or 12 that can actually go all the way and win it, and that might be being nice. But what stands out to me about Kansas, Brian, is they can beat you in any way. They can beat you scoring 88 against Texas with Jalen Wilson scores two. They can beat you 63-58 in Fort Worth on the road in a grinder. They can win a grinder like they just did at home against Texas Tech. And Grady Dick has a poor game offensively. Jalen Wilson had 5 points, I believe, in a game recently. Kansas won. It just seems to me that Kansas can win in different ways. And the other thing that stands out to me is that I'm not saying they're capable of flipping a switch, but I see this team, when it's one of the biggest possessions of the game late, in the final 2 minutes, I see this team hunker down and flat-out play defense.
Yeah, that's a great observation, and you could specify that even more down to this team's best player in the final 2 minutes. Caleb Wilson is not a superior athlete by any means. I don't know if you've noticed, he's not dunked in his KU career.
He's not
an above-the-rim player. And that's part of where the criticism was as a pro prospect a year ago. And he's not going to become that anytime soon. He kind of is what he is. But Bill Self said the other night, when we were playing West Virginia, and it was game point, and we're down two, and the three could beat us, he said Jalen slid his feet faster than he'd ever seen. Jalen moved side to side and with more purpose and lockdown intensity than any other player on the floor, and that's a team that's got Kevin McCullough and DeJuan Harris on it. And so what I'm getting at, to your point about the way they can lock down in the final 2 minutes, everybody just gets ratcheted up several notches, and they're already really good defensively in the previous 38 minutes. But I think when the head of the snake and the leader of this team has a level that he can go to in terms of the competitive edge that he has when it's at game point, which is something Bill Self said a lot this week in describing his legacy, that makes you all the more difficult in the final minutes to close out or overcome or upset. And I think that, you know, part of that is the head coach and the competitive fire he instills in these guys. But part of that is that the real leaders on this team, Wilson, McCullough, DeJuan Harris, all have a competitive edge to them that is very set apart from the typical, you know, D1 high major college athlete. And that makes you think, hey, this team really could repeat. This team really could be the team still standing on a Monday night in April. And as we've seen, though, with the parity in college basketball, the parity in our own league, the team could also go out in round two.
Yeah.
Shots aren't falling. They're not supremely gifted athletically. They aren't especially deep. I mean, you could argue this is the least deep national title contending team that Self has had, because the bench never came together to the degree we thought it would, in large part because MJ Rice missed so much time and never really realized his potential. And Ernest is still a, you know, 7 or 8 minutes a game type guy, if that. And Joe, on his best day, looks like a great sixth man, but on other days, you know, comes in and probably tries too much. So point is, Kansas still has its flaws, but Kansas at game point is as good as any team in America, as much for their coach on the sidelines as the competitive spirit of the three players that lead them. And so, you know, if they can get Grady going again, and I don't worry about that one bit. I really don't. Just looking at how tough they play defense when the game's on the line and who the guys are that are pulling the plow on this team right now, I think this club, I'd take them up against just about anybody. Not because they win convincingly and emphatically and they look like this well-oiled machine, but because they clearly have the best coach in college basketball and they've got the personality and the leadership amongst the players that is a personification of that coach on the floor. And I'd go to battle with those guys any day of the week.
Well, and the other thing, too, that stands out to me is Kansas makes winning plays. And what I mean by winning plays is when the ball is loose, Kevin McCullough gets it and lays it in against Texas Tech. I mean, that is a winning play. I've said this to you before, I think my favorite player on this team this year, because I think he is underappreciated by some. Now, I know he's getting, you know, a defensive, award semifinalist, whoever it is. But Kevin McCullough, to me, was the missing piece of this puzzle. When they brought him in the transfer portal from Texas Tech, a guy with experience, a kid that can, you know, hit the shots from time to time outside, not known as an offensive player, but can score in double figures certainly from time to time. But a lockdown defender. I don't know how many times I watch KU play, Brian, where I'm watching with Miller, as you know him, and we're talking, yeah. And I say, there's another play that will not show up in the box score that Kevin McCullough allowed Kansas to get possession of the ball. There's another play where Kevin McCullough did this and saved 2 points. Here's another play. Kevin McCullough just out hustled somebody to the loose ball. And even though he didn't get possession of it, he tipped it to somebody else. I don't know how many times I've been watching KU this year, and DeJuan Harris does the same thing, but Kevin McCullough, I don't know how many times I watch Kevin McCullough and I say, where would this team be if they didn't add him? Maybe they added a big time scorer. I don't think this team would be as good collectively, chemistry-wise, possibly, because McCullough knows how to make winning plays. He's experienced enough to do it. He's not intimidated by anybody. And at the end of the day, you might look at his box score and say, okay, that doesn't blow you away, but there's so many things he does that you don't see in the box score that helps KU win.
Yeah, as you're describing all of that, I'm thinking of the baseball sabermetric statistic WAR, yes. wins above replacement. Yes. And I'm thinking about like runs saved per game, yes. which is another Billy Beane type thing. In this case, the basketball version would be points saved or buckets prevented per game. You know, the extra possessions he steals, the points he takes away, stuff that maybe isn't as quantifiable unless it results in a steal. But if you go back and look at it, that dude's worth at least 8 points a game that he saves or prevents, let alone the 13 that he gives you offensively. And that's aiming low in terms of how many points yeah. per game he saves. I mean, he had a rejection at the rim the other night on his former teammate who has 2,100 career points, Kevin O'Banner, and he took this guy's lunch at the rim.
Amazing.
With two bodies colliding at a high level at a high speed, and he makes the play. So yeah, I think he is the key ingredient that brought this whole thing together. And Grady obviously is a budding star, and he's going to be a lottery pick and all that. But without Kevin McCullough, it's still a good team. But we're talking about Kansas probably as a 4 seed. I don't think they're Big 12 champs. And we're talking about, you know, will they make it to the Sweet 16 this year? McCullough really is that important. But so too is DeJuan Harris. And
yeah.
Harris's reascension into a guy that has as much control on our success as any these last 3 weeks versus the guy that was going through a bit of a haze after landing on his face in Manhattan and had a two-week stretch where he was not his normal self, man, you could argue he's been as important as anybody.
Yep.
And not to get off on a tangent here because I know we're at the top of the hour, but you know, Jalen Wilson, we'll find out on Sunday, is he the Big 12 Player of the Year? Probably, because he was the best player on the best team, and many times that gets it. I think Marquise Noel, who leads the league in terms of conference stats in scoring, assists, steals, threes, and free throw percentage, he's going to get a lot of consideration too.
Yep.
But let me just tell you, as good as Jalen has been, as brilliant as he was throughout the season, clearly KU doesn't win the league without DeJuan Harris these last 3 weeks, and he's been probably the most important player the last 3 weeks as anybody. And then I think Kevin McCullough is right there next to him.
I totally agree with you. A couple more for Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each week here on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. You mentioned Grady Dick, a lottery pick. I was watching the game the other night with my son after the high school game. We're sitting on the couch, and Grady was struggling. He hadn't made a shot, didn't make a shot the whole game, but he made some clutch free throws, of course. And I said out loud, I said, maybe Grady's a little bit, I don't know about nervous, but maybe he deep down knows this is his last home game at Allen Fieldhouse. And I said that to my son, and he was flabbergasted. He's like, what do you mean? And I said, son, in mock drafts, he's a lottery pick. And I said, and Jalen Wilson is not a lottery pick in many mock drafts. And he's like, well, Wilson's better than Grady Dick. And I said, son, the NBA don't care about that right now. The NBA is always about potential. You know, it's about the upside, the ceiling. And in many cases, if you're 18 or 19, they love to have you and mold you at the NBA level instead of taking a guy that's 22 or 23. The game has changed. And back in the day, maybe where you put a lot of accolades on a college guy that, oh, he's National Player of the Year. Well, he's got to be a first-round pick. And we see that that's not the case anymore. So you brought up that he would probably be a lottery pick. Do you believe that Grady Dick has probably played his last game at Allen Fieldhouse the other night?
I do. I don't think it's a lock necessarily, but that's been the expectation all along. And for all the reasons you just very eloquently mentioned, the fact that they draft on upside and projectability, the fact that he's got the measurables in terms of size, the natural ability, he's got great mechanics, and the other parts of his game have improved dramatically in terms of his defense and his rebounding over the course of his freshman season. Scouts are going to love that Bill Self was the one that got to put his hands on him for 9 months and work on this molding clay into form into who he is today versus had he gone to another school and maybe not been as coached as well. But they're going to like the fact that he's still moldable, like you said, and he's still got a lot of untapped ceiling there. And that's, honestly, you can tell Noah, Miller, whoever, that's why Kevin's going to come out. You know, Kevin could play one more season in college ball, but he'd be 24 by the time the draft rolled around. And he recognizes that makes him, I don't want to say undraftable, but it's funny how short-sighted and narrow-minded some of these NBA execs are when it comes to the age factor.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like college baseball seniors, if you follow the college baseball draft. Guys don't get drafted as graduating seniors many times because, again, they want the youthful upside, and so they're just senior signs instead of senior draft picks where they sign undrafted. And it's a similar deal here. So, yeah, believe me, there's plenty of nights where I watch Grady and I don't think he's ready. But then you have to remind yourself what the NBA is looking for in drafting on, and that's why virtually every mock draft you see, he's in the top 14 picks. And the ones that aren't, he's in the upper 18s, which you probably got to go of the first round there. So, and keep in mind, if they have a deep tournament run, that just further cements that, so long as he's playing like Grady we know he could be. So, sadly, it's probably a one-and-done thing for him, but believe me, we would be thrilled if he elected to come back, and the postseason could say something about that, certainly, but at this point, I think that the heavy expectation around here is that he will be our first drafted Jayhawk in the month of June, with Jalen hopefully going in the first round as well, and Kevin McCullough in the late second round.
And you mentioned Jalen Wilson hasn't had a dunk in his KU career. Grady can play above the rim. We've seen many alley-oops to him. And he, 6'8" and athletic, and maybe even going to grow more, possibly. Who knows? So, yeah, that's how the game is played at the NBA level when it comes to prospects and so forth and so on. All right, quick scouting report on Texas. What's the biggest concern with Texas tomorrow?
Well, I think it's a really important game, as I mentioned. I think we've got a lot of motivation, but obviously they may have a little more because they're fighting for their NCAA seeding too and trying to salvage something coming off back-to-back road losses. Also, keep in mind, this might be our only trip ever to the Moody Center as league rivals. They're in the league one more year, but we don't know what that schedule is going to look like next year with four more teams coming in on top of the 10 that we have. So this might be our only trip to the Moody Center. So I hope the Hawks, have a chance to start up that building with a win, because we didn't close out the Frank Ehrman Center with one, thanks to that banked-in three by Trey Mitchell, who's now a Mountaineer. But yeah, they're so talented. I mean, whether it's Carr or Allen, they've got veteran players that are fifth and sixth year guys, and they got a lot of them, more than we have. As Bill Self said, 1 through 9, they're the most talented team roster-wise, going 9 spots deep of anybody in the conference. Their sixth man would start just about anywhere else in the country. And I think that, they're really well coached too. I think this coaching staff is playing a little bit coaching for their jobs, trying to prove they deserve full-time employment beyond this year in the interim sense. So I think there's a lot of motivation on both sides. And I think that they are the second most talented team in our conference. Maybe, like we said, if you go in terms of total roster, they're more talented. But I take our starting five and our head coach over anybody in the country, let alone the conference. And that's why I still think the Jayhawks have a great shot Saturday. But, it'll be a matter of containing Marcus Carr and Timmy Allen. Allen's a guy that can beat you in the mid-range. If he catches rhythm, he can go off 25 any given night. And obviously, they've got a lot of other talent, too. That they had, in my mind, next to Kevin McCullough, they had the second best transfer portal addition in the Big 12 Conference this past offseason. And it was a guy that I had a chance to meet when he came to Kansas on his official visit. And I thought, man, are we going to get both McCullough and this guy? Because you'll recall closing down the previous season in the Sweet 16 run that Iowa State made, that the best freshman that turned the most heads clearly was the young man that winds up being a Longhorn just a couple of months later in Tyrese Hunter. So they've got absolutely Final Four caliber talent, and this would be a big feather in our cap if we can get the win. So looking forward to it, and we'll have the call for you on the Jayhawk Network at 3 on Saturday.
All right, time for the off-the-wall question. I don't know if you saw this story. Southeastern University was playing Grandview University in Lakeland, Florida this weekend. Southeastern was ahead 4-1, but their opponents had the bases loaded. Caitlin Moses, catcher for Grandview, came up to the plate, hit a grand slam. Between first and second base, she suffered an injury running the bases, fell to the ground in pain. Rules do not allow your own teammates to help you or you would be out. And so two opposing players on the opposing team, Southeastern players, lifted Moses up and carried her across the bases so that she could score the lead run, because she was the fourth, of course, the grand slam. And that was just an unbelievable story and really cool to see that type of sportsmanship, which leads me to my off the wall with you, Brian Haney. And that is, what is the nicest thing someone has ever done for you?
Oh, wow. That's tremendous. Well, the coolest thing anybody ever did for me, most generous thing, when I was 26, sadly, and this is a personal thing, but I was going through a divorce and had gotten to know a KU baseball player by the name of Ryan Beatty, who's now an elected official with the Sedgwick County Commission in the Wichita area. But at the time, he'd taken his brief minor league baseball earnings and put them into a mattress company called the Mattress Hub, which is now all over the state. They're one of my sponsors in the Wichita area, as a matter of fact. And he heard that I was going through a divorce, and he called me up and he said, "Hey, is there anything you need? Are you doing okay?" And I said, "Oh, you know, I'm moving into an apartment. I got to buy some new stuff and all that, but I'll be fine." He's like, "Well, seriously, is there anything you need?" I'm like, no, I got it. He's like, "Well, hey, I want to send you a book, something encouraging. What's your address?" So I give him my address unknowingly, unsuspectingly. The next morning, this big truck pulls up to the apartment I'm moving into. Brand new mattress, new box springs, brand new pillows, all this stuff. It was amazing. One of the most generous and unexpected, just unsolicited, amazingly generous acts I've ever been on the receiving end of or heard about. And he said, "You know what? It was a time in need. You're a brother in faith and in life, and I wanted to do something to bring a little sunshine during a tough time in your life." And I've never forgotten that and tried to bless others when I get a chance because of what he did for me when I was really going through a tough one. So Ryan Beatty, he's the all-time doubles leader in KU history. Matt Beatty has also gone on to start in the KU, but he's a superstar in life as far as I'm concerned for moments like that.
Wow, what a tremendous story. Thanks for sharing that. That is absolutely fantastic. Makes you feel good. So much negativity in the world. It's nice to have that positivity and know that there are good people out there doing good things. So we appreciate you sharing that story, man. That is awesome.
And the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, is I kept that bed for the next 15 years. I know you're supposed to change your mattresses every 10. I kept it until I finally bought a new one from him for probably 4 times the price now that mattress technology has gone up so much. And so I bought one from him last summer after the national championship. So it has a happy ending for all parties involved.
That's awesome. Well, hey, safe travels down to Austin tomorrow, and we'll talk to you again next week to look ahead to the Big 12 tournament, okay?
Sounds good, buddy. Thanks a lot. Yeah, let's figure out our time next week because we'll be in game day mode, so maybe we go on Wednesday or something. But, yeah, looking forward to it, my man.
We'll make it work. Thanks, Brian. Brian Haney, the voice
Thank
of
you.
The Jayhawks. We always appreciate his time. And, of course, they are the Big 12 champions, and they're trying to defend their national championship this year as well. And Brian will have the call tomorrow on Z96.3 Lake. Pregame 2:30, 3 o'clock is the tip-off between KU and Texas on Z96.3 The Lake. And Brian's appearance on the Sports Ticket brought to you each and every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118th North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.